Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for joining. My name is Barbara Torres. I will be facilitating this morning's special board meeting of the Magnolia Public Schools Board of Directors. As a reminder, our meeting is being recorded. Who just joined us?
David Garner, MSA 2.
Hi, Mr. Garner, thank you for joining. Anyone else?
MSA 1.
Hi, Mr. Sahin.
Good morning.
Any new callers?
MSA 4 is also on the line.
Thank you, MSA 4.
Can I ask Barbara that you call the roll for board members, please?
Okay, so as I continue, so our meeting is being recorded, and please state your name before speaking, especially since this is a teleconference meeting. With that, I will go ahead and take roll, but I need the meeting to be called to order, Rabbi Beliak.
Everyone, the meeting of the special meeting of the Magnolia School Board is beginning at 7:21 a.m. on March 13th.
Thank you, Rabbi Beliak. I'll go ahead and take roll. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Dr. Yapnell?
Here.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias? Mr. Orzov?
Yes.
Dr. Dikpash?
Yes.
Thank you. We will go ahead and continue. We do have our quorum. Next, we have approval of the agenda. Board members can move to approve the agenda as presented.
I'll move to approve the agenda as presented.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. Do we have a second?
A second, if this is order.
Thank you, Mr. Orzov. Go ahead and take votes. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Dr. Yapnell? Dr. Yapnell?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Orzov?
Yes.
Dr. Dikpash?
Yes.
Thank you. The agenda has been approved. We did not have any public speakers sign up for this morning, so we will continue to our action item. Our action item is item 2A, concerns measuring to address the organizational and educational impacts of the COVID-19 virus. We have our CEO and Superintendent, Mr. Rubalcaba, here to present.
Good morning, board members, Magnolia staff and families. Alfredo Rubalcaba, CEO, Superintendent of Magnolia Public Schools. On March 4th, 2020, the governor of the state of California declared an emergency statewide relating to COVID-19, or as we all know, coronavirus, and has directed state agencies to provide updated and specific guidance to schools. And Magnolia has been monitoring advice provided by all relevant authorities, including the California Department of Education, the CDC, and the state and county health departments. And as you know, the number of confirmed cases of COVID-19 is growing at an alarming rate. As a result of this, on March 11th, the governor had another state emergency message, basically directing schools to practice social distancing measures and to implement them statewide, including cancellations of mass gatherings and large events. With this, there are numerous legal and organizational impacts to decisions made in response to the COVID-19 virus and strict adherence to provisions in existing MRF school policies and our procedures for Magnolia schools might prevent, hinder, or delay the appropriate actions to prevent and mitigate the effects of COVID-19. I'm asking the Magnolia board to direct the following. There are 19 items listed in the resolution. I won't go over all of them, but if you have any questions regarding any of them, feel free to ask at the end of our staff's presentation, and we will answer the questions accordingly.
Great. Sorry to interrupt, board members. This is David Garner from MSA 2. I'm also joined by our board members, Ms. Sandra Covarrubias. Ms. Covarrubias, are you here right now as well?
Thank you.
All right, so going down the list, each Magnolia school should be closed should its chartering authority or local, state, or federal government officials, including but not limited to the county public health department, relevant authorities, direct or recommend the closure. The chief executive officer, superintendent, may close any Magnolia school for up to 5 school days based on the chief executive officer's superintendent's determination that it is necessary to protect student and or staff health and safety. The chief executive officer and superintendent must seek the board's authority for any closure longer than 5 school days. In order to immediately protect the health and safety of pupils and employees, the chief executive officer and superintendent may waive any Magnolia school or organization-wide policy or procedure to implement directives from relevant authorities. All indications are that there will be a statewide closure for all schools on Monday, March 16, 2020. Obviously, we're monitoring the situation. The length of time of closure obviously will be determined with local public health officers, authority authorizers, and obviously state agencies. The chief executive officer and superintendent or designee may hire additional staff or independent contractors as necessary or convenient for purposes of performing tasks recommended by relevant authorities or that the chief executive officer and superintendent deems necessary in his or her discretion to mitigate the actual potential impacts of COVID-19. The chief executive officer and superintendent in consultation with MRF legal counsel and or its authorizing agency shall propose revisions to the academic calendar for the 2019-20 academic year if necessary. The chief executive officer and superintendent in consultation with MRF legal counsel and or its authorizing agency shall prepare and file all necessary requests and supporting documentation to preserve full apportionment funding. The chief executive officer and superintendent in consultation with MRF legal counsel may approve use of virtual independent study or other programs designed to serve students who otherwise might be unserved or underserved. Erdinch will go over this in more specifics after I finish my presentation. The chief executive officer and superintendent is directed to continuously inform the families, the board, and all stakeholders about updates to information and directives being received from relevant authorities. The chief executive officer and superintendent or designee shall ensure that services to special education students continue to be provided in off-campus locations when appropriate and possible in the event of a school closure. The chief executive officer and superintendent shall ensure that free and reduced price meals are provided to students in the event of school closure unless this is impossible or commercially unreasonable. And lastly, the chief executive officer and superintendent, after consulting with the Magnolia board chair, shall have the authority to exceed the level of expenditures that would ordinarily trigger the requirement to also obtain approval of the MRF board chair or MRF board under board fiscal policies in order to pay for expenses related to items contained in this resolution. However, the cumulative total of such expenses shall not reduce the impact of Magnolia School's unrestricted reserves lower than 3% without prior approval of the MRF board. For this specific one, specifically, we are at this moment speaking with internet providers to ensure that all of our students, if our schools do close, have internet access. And obviously, this is something, a service that would be provided from MRF to the schools in order for our students to access online curriculum. So with that, I'll turn it over to Erdinch Bajar, our chief academic officer, to go over just the elements specific to if we close, what are the schools doing to prepare our students if school was to close, so there's continuing teaching and learning. Go ahead, Erdinch.
Good morning, board members and the school communities. So as we presented in the last board meeting, we have been operating under emergency operation planning guidelines that we developed to guard against COVID-19. And we've been following those protocols with the school communities since then. As news develop and then we're getting ready for school closures, we also started developing guidelines in case we end up closing one or more of our schools. In consultation with our team members, we're ready to implement those guidelines that we developed. And when we develop those guidelines, we also refer to the federal Department of Education recommendations, the county, especially LA County Department of Education guidelines, and the state guidelines in terms of addressing the learning needs of our students and continue delivering instruction. So the idea is to go as a independent learning in case we close schools, and then during this time, with the waivers submitted, we are expecting our students are going to capture all the credits that they need to continue their learning in our schools. So planning wise, we prepared what needs to be done in our schools to get ready for independent learning activities. And that includes planning time for our teachers, especially today we are having half days in our schools. It was a quick decision that we needed to do yesterday, and we announced it to our communities that we're having half days, giving half day for our staff to prepare at least for 2 weeks of learning activities moving forward, and that includes preparing print materials, digital materials, having Chromebooks ready to hand out, and then having guidelines for our teachers in terms of specific subject areas, what they should do, prepare, and what should be in those packages, and then learning activities, the delivery methods, grading, attendance, and all sorts of details of having an independent learning program. So those preparations from our home office level are ready. We are ready to give more guidance to our teachers. And then after the meeting, if we decide to close the schools, we're ready to move on. Basically, we have most of our curricula on a digital platform, and we have a single sign-on clever platform. Our teachers will be using that in terms of digital learning, including core curricula. We have supplemental curricula. We have vendors, reached out to us that they open their programs. We included in our plans to have them for our students' disposal during this time. So we feel we're ready for this in terms of providing the independent learning practices. Our team at the home office level will be monitoring the progress and then helping all school team members during this time. We're also following what the other school districts and charter networks are doing, and in collaboration with them supporting our plans and increasing opportunities for our students to use during this time. That's all I have at this point, unless there are specific questions.
Thank you, Ardich. Before we go into questions, I'll just have staff finish the presentation, then we'll open it up to board questions, and I'll direct the questions to the appropriate member if I cannot answer. So I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Brenda Lopez, who could also add more context in terms of other things that we are looking at for student services relative to school closures or any impacts due to this health public crisis, the coronavirus. Dr. Lopez.
Hi, good morning, everyone. One of the things that we're looking at is also reviewing and revising our school safety plans to make sure that they are adequate to address any future or further should we have a crisis like this. But I think our team's done a really good job of creating protocols as of now. One of the components that I did want to address that our schools are doing a really good job with is being aware and monitoring any social emotional impact, not only to our staff, our families, but also especially to our students. One of the things that Mr. Rubalcaba mentioned is that providing meals to our students is a priority. Unfortunately, this crisis might create more anxiety to our students that might not have a stable home environment. So we want to make sure that basic needs are addressed should the schools have to be closed. So we're also following guidance from the CDE, who has also provided waivers should we need to provide meals for our families in the event of school closure. So I just wanted to add that piece. Thank you.
All right, and now I'll turn it over to Ismael Soto. Ismael, go for it.
Hi, good morning, board members and Magnolia community. This is Ismael Soto, Director of Development and Communications. So I'm just going to go ahead and give a quick update in terms of our communications efforts and how we are keeping our communities informed. So I've been working very closely with our communications manager at the home office, along with CCSA, the California Charter School Association, who has taken on a point role in terms of making sure that they're communicating with all of the local agencies from the state to local level. And so I'm on constant communication with them to ensure that we are getting relevant and up-to-date information. With that, we are sending out all of our communication via two means of communication. One is our parent and staff platform, which is Parent Square. We are sending regular communications. We started back since January 27th, a second on March 3rd, one as of March 13th this week. And so that's been constant. Also, we're working with our human resources department to ensure that our staff is getting information from a human resources perspective. What we are including in these messages are very succinct. So we're making sure that everything includes updates from, again, as Alfredo mentioned, from local and state public health departments, authorizers, et cetera. Also includes, typically what I'll include is guidelines for schools and home offices and, you know, what to do if they're feeling sick, limiting visitors, what to do during spring break, accommodations for them. Also, always include resources. And so making sure that everybody understands and is clear in terms of the information that's coming to us from up at the state level. So these messages have been coming out from my office and making sure that we are getting compliance with other charter networks. Also, I should mention that we are in alignment with some of our CMO partners through our partnership with the Alley Coalition for Excellent Public Schools. So we are in constant contact with them and are making sure that we're in alignment with measures and communications that they're sending out as well. So that is my update. I'm happy to answer any questions.
So that concludes staff presentation. So now we're going to open it up to board questions. Go ahead, team.
Good morning. Questions. This is Diane Gonzalez.
Good morning, Diane.
To ask you, this morning, LAUSD had a meeting with any, I don't know if it was a conference call or a meeting. Did anybody attend that?
No, so we have been following LAUSD very closely. First and foremost, the superintendent, Austin Buettner, has two communications sent out in the morning and the evening, specific to three questions. And the first question is, how many cases of coronavirus, you know, are there for the day? And then the second question is, are any of these cases linked to any of our students or school community? And third, should we change our schedule? So as of now, you know, the last update that was sent yesterday evening, you know, the indication was that, you know, no students or family or community members within the schools of LAUSD boundaries had been impacted. And that also goes for San Diego County and Santa Ana County. We've been monitoring those. But there were some exceptions made on March 11th due to the social distancing. Again, the cancellations of all large gatherings, mass gatherings or events, and also assemblies and other events, non-essential events that schools hold, those have all been canceled. So we also learned that LAUSD did have a conference call with other districts across the state of California. And we also heard from our partners, CCSA, that who's been in constant contact with the governor's office and other districts and counties, that that they believe that there are, that school closures are imminent, and that will happen as of soon as March 16th. So their recommendation to all the charter schools across the state is cancel schools starting March 16th. So we believe that the closed session meeting that's happening at 7 a.m., which is an emergency meeting, when that all is said and done, we do believe LAUSD will announce that they will be closing their schools on March 16th. That is the expectation. But again, we are closely monitoring because in terms of their decisions, how they impact our schools. Obviously, we have multiple sites, top 39 locations. So if they were to announce school closures, then we
but we sent one out yesterday, and then as the day goes on, we get updates. We'll be sending out communication.
Excuse me, I can't hear.
So can you mute your phone? We heard side conversations. So Diane, again, the Prop 39 co-located sites, the LAUSD was to close on the 16th. The process we would follow, obviously, we would call the local county Department of Public Health and obviously inform them, you know, of this closure by LAUSD. And then we would ask them how we should proceed, because in order for us to get apportionment for attendance, or in other words, funding, the local public health official would have to sign off on the form that we ultimately submit to the state of California, that typically comes to the board here, and the MPS board does approve. But obviously the reason we are introducing this emergency resolution is in order for you to give me the authority to bypass this process, for us to submit this to the state in order to collect funding. So we are closely monitoring LAUSD in all of its actions. So as soon as
I'm already inside. I'm already inside. Just
MSA 3, can you mute your phone, please? So again, we're monitoring, and then we will update the board on any of the actions taken by LAUSD. Does that answer your question, Diane?
That answers my question. And the next thing I was wondering is, because I know spring break is coming up, is there any way of moving that up so that it might be able to cover the first portion if you do have to dismiss the schools?
Yes, great question. Yes, so far Elk Grove Unified, they did do that, where they were able to cancel classes this week, and in lieu of that, they were able to put their spring break for this week. And then we also saw other charter management organizations do the same. So right now, David Yilmaz, our chief accountability officer, and his team are looking at these options for us to obviously move our spring break, which is April 6th through the 10th. And then for San Diego, it's March 30th through April 3rd. So we are looking at those options for us, of course, to obviously have as, you know, minimal impact on our school communities. But that's a great question. All right. Other board members with questions?
This is Edgar. I was wondering who put together this resolution. I can see that it's put together by our legal counsel, but did we look at other charter schools or, you know, other USD's resolutions, or did they have anything like that at all?
Yes, great question, Sardar. So this resolution was prepared by our partners at YMC, and this specific resolution, I believe, was prepared for all charter schools across the state of California. And after it was submitted to us, Patrick Ontiveros, our legal counsel, reviewed it as well. And we did review it as a team, and we did ask some questions to our partners at YMC. And then ultimately, we decided that this resolution was the strongest one and covered all of our bases, consistent with LAUSD's resolution.
Thank you. And one more, and there are two items about the free and reduced lunch or the breakfast distribution, and about the special education services. In the case of a school closure, what are the plans to deliver those services? I want to make sure that we're passing the resolution of something we can really practice and do deliver.
Yes, great question. I'll answer the meals part of it, and then I'll turn it over to Dinch to go over the special education. So for the meals portion of it, you know, our accountability team, David Yilmaz, Lydiette Vega, and Jennifer Wade, are working with the California Department of Education and our partner Schools in Action to obviously obtain a waiver to be able to serve these meals. The question right now that's still pending is whether we could serve it at our school sites or at a remote location. And the reason that is because one of the things that is still not clear from the California Department of Education and the California Department of Public Health is whether or not once we do go in a school closure, and if the state of California did have an emergency declaration to close all schools, we don't know the implications on access to facilities. So if we did not have access to facilities, obviously we could not distribute those meals at our school sites. So that's why we would obviously work very hard to ensure that we distribute these meals at remote locations. And this practice has already been done through the summer school program, which is reimbursed by the government, the US government, the USDA. So we're looking at all options, obviously, to distribute these meals. But again, in terms of serving them at the school sites, it's still not clear. And we hope and we expect, and we've heard that the CDE and the California Department of Public Health will issue that guidance within the next 12 to 14 hours. So I'll turn it over to Erdinch just to talk about the special education piece.
Good morning, Tim, again. Mr. Erdinch Ajar, Chief Academic Officer. This piece, has been back and forth with agencies, and we've been trying to help our teams in case of closures as well. So basically, we have guidelines from our legal counsel, and then we have guidance from NACO and charter operated programs that help us. So what will happen is, you know, our design is right now for general education, but as you know, each student with disabilities, they have case managers working close with them, and then we have an IEP team helping designing the learning activities to help the needs of the students. So in case of the closure, you know, up to 10 days. There are provisions that in terms of compliance and the placement, we are okay under the guidance of the U.S. Department of Education, and after 10 days, and if the services are not delivered, and then I'm talking about special services, related services, then we may end up providing compensatory education and services. So that we don't want to go in that direction. And then we do have right now options for us to implement when the schools close more than 10 days. As you remember specifically, last year we approved vendors for our related services. So we have vendors closely working with us. And specifically, we do have also one vendor that's an online vendor that can provide online services such as speech therapy and adapted PE and occupational therapy, counseling, those services we are able to provide at this point online. And we're ready for that, and we reached out, the vendor is ready to kick in as well. So what we'll do is, we'll go case by case of student, and then our teams will determine how the placement will look like for these students, at home when in distance learning, and then we'll supplement the students' learning with the services and the programs that we have in our disposal.
Sardar, does that answer your questions?
Yeah, I think so. I have one more though.
Yes, go ahead.
What does school closures will mean for our employees in terms of their compensations?
So we are doing everything in our power to ensure that we pay all of our employees. So during this school closure time, that they will be paid. Obviously, in order for us to do that, we would obviously have to be granted the waiver, the J13A waiver, which again would not impact our ADA and would not impact our funding. All indications are, based on the guidance provided by the CDE on March 10th, based on that J13A guidance, that this emergency condition that does meet the criteria for us to collect ADA. But with that, there has to be proof that the school has been impacted, and that has to be verified by the local public health official. But in an instance of if the governor declares an emergency and directs all schools to close, we would automatically get that funding and then therefore be able to pay everyone, which is the expectation. And then I think in terms of guidance, in terms from the CDE and the California Department of Public Health, that's gonna come hopefully in the next 14 hours, it would indicate or inform us what our employees actually do during the school closure. That still is a little blurry, and we're waiting from guidance from the CDE. And then obviously we will work with our legal counsel to ensure, obviously, that all of our employees are protected, and obviously students and families as well in this time. So that's the information we have so far. And obviously, we're monitoring the situation very closely. And again, we're going to work, very collaboratively with all the people that I just spoke about, agencies, and we'll inform the board as we get those updates. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. But this is just a comment. Maybe it might be helpful for our HR. Maybe it's already done, but to provide some sort of update to our employees so that they don't have any additional worry, in these hard, tough times.
Yes, no, definitely. And we are expected to send out a message today. We already did send out a message on Thursday morning, kind of talking about some of the things that we're doing to protect our employees. And the message that goes out today will also further that, just importance of us making sure that our employees, obviously with their families, are our number one priority. So we will send that out to them today. So that's a great comment, and we are doing everything we can to do that.
Thank you so much.
All right, other board members with questions?
This is Umit. I had a question. Would the home office be open if the school's closed?
So that's a great question, Umit. So again, with that, my expectation again is that it would. But again, we are directed by the local county officials and also the California Department of Public Health. So if they were to if the governor did issue an emergency declaration and said, in this emergency declaration, there shouldn't be access to schools and everyone should be obviously isolated. So then we would figure out a way for us to, work in isolation. But again, we're also mindful of our, employees' families and the impact on their families, because if schools close, most of our staff have little ones as well, students that they would have to take care of. So again, this one is a little blurry still, and I think ultimately the CDE and the California Department of Public Health guidance that was issued on March 7th and updated twice since then, that would give us a clearer indication of what we can and cannot do when it comes to employee expectations in working during these closure times. Did that answer your question?
Yes.
All right. Other board members with questions?
Okay, if there are no other questions, I will read off the motion. So our motion for this morning would be to approve resolution 20200313-01 regarding concerning measures to address the organizational and educational impacts of the COVID-19 virus for Magnolia Science Academy 1 through 8 and MSM Magnolia Science Academy Santa Ana, as well as Magnolia Science Academy San Diego. Can one of our board members move?
Lisa said I make the motion.
I'll second it. Thank you, Mr. Orzov, and thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. I will go ahead and take vote. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Dr. Yapanel?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Mr. Orzov?
Yes.
Dr. Dikpas?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion carries. We have one more other comment.
Yeah, in closing, I just want to take this opportunity just to thank the entire Magnolia family. Obviously, this time has been, something of an uncertainty. But again, what makes Magnolia unique and special is that we've all rallied around each other and really collaborated in a very succinct way. As we've always done, collectively, we could accomplish great things. And we will do so, and we will obviously get through this time and continue educating children and doing best for our communities. I just want to thank our board of directors, obviously, for setting aside time and always being open for consultation and for us to go over all the items, to all the way to our principals and all of our support staff in our home office in making this happen. So thank you very much.
Thank you all. Rabbi Beliak, can you adjourn the meeting?
Thank you. Have a good day and stay safe.
Rabbi Beliak?
I would just like to thank the staff for its efficiency and for its careful leadership on this. And just to say on behalf of the board that we want to be sure that we're kept informed and that we will try to help staff in any way we can. And just to end with a short prayer, may the blessings of friendship and connection that have sustained this school effort spread among us in this time of crisis, and may we be strengthened by the challenges that we face. Amen.
Thank you, Rabbi Beliak.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Can you formally adjourn the meeting, please?
Thank you, everyone. See you later.
Rabbi Belia, can you adjourn?
Rabbi Belia, can you adjourn the meeting?
We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you. All bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.